Good evening. Great to see you all here, and we welcome you here as to this church Gloria Day. We feel so honored and blessed to be able to have the Lutherans for Life conference here as as opening up our doors is a way that we can glorify God and be able to give Him praise and honor in all that we do. And so we're glad that you are here with us. And if you have any questions about the building or the, you know, anything that you have that you're burning questions inside of you about Gloria Day, please feel free to just ask or talk to any of the staff that's here. The staff will be recognized by a little gold badge that has their name and their position underneath it. Feel free to talk to any of them. You can talk to any of our hospitality team that was at the door as you were walking in, and they have a lot of those questions answered. And so you can feel free to we're open and ready to share with you. Couple of things that you'll need to know. One is always the bathrooms, right? Everybody needs to know that. So when you go out these doors to the sides, men are on this side, women are on this side. You go further down where dinner will be. There's a couple other restrooms down there. First is the women's, second is the men's. And those will be clearly marked throughout the building for you. Just one recognition here today. I want to recognize the musicians that are here tonight that are just donating their talents that God has definitely blessed them with in hearing that prelude. So can we give them a hand of praise to our God for thank you for being here and definitely helping, bringing this worship and praise to our God. Well, why don't we stand up and share the peace of God with one another before we begin worship? Hello, God's peace to you. Hello, God's peace. Hello, God's peace to you. Hello, God's peace. God's peace to you. Hi, God's peace. Hello, God's peace.
As long as you're here, what's the blended service Sunday morning? What does that mean?
We have some different instrumentation. We have some guitar, bass, violin, brass, so we try to mix it up a little bit. But we can talk about it after if you want to know a little bit more.
Thank you.
Before we begin, in the name of our Trinitarian God, Dr. Mark on piano actually has a beginning to that I would like him to play a little bit as he's prepared for this, you know, this intro. So listen as he intros once again this part from Bach. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us draw near with a humble heart and confess our sins to our Heavenly Father and ask that for Jesus' sake that He would forgive us. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Lord God, we confess with Paul, I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. I have not lived in faith every day, but rather every day I sin in thought, word, and deed. Jesus walked every day in perfect holiness in your place. He took your unholiness into himself upon the cross and paid the price for your sins. He has given you his Holy Spirit in the waters of your baptism, and through faith in him, your sins are forgiven. Therefore, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We now continue with the responsive psalm from Psalm 26. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. I hate the assembly of the evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. Do not sweep my soul away with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord be with you. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, who has been faithful to us through Jesus Christ, enable us by the power of your Holy Spirit to trust in your faithfulness and walk in faith every day. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading comes from Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib of that the Lord God had taken from the man, he had made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This is at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This is the word of our Lord. Our epistle reading comes from Titus chapter 2, starting with verse 11. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you." This is the word of our God. From Psalm 25, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Please rise for the reading of the gospel. Gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 46. "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, to his offspring forever. This is the gospel of our Lord. We now confess together our Christian faith found in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that speaks to us this evening, one short verse from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 20. Jesus says, "And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." That is God's word. On vacation in Colorado, after devotions in our mountain cabin, granddaughter Jamie decided it should be Q&A time. And so she came up with this question. "Since Iron Man doesn't have a heart, where does Jesus live?" Brother Zane, 4 years old, not to be outdone, said, "Yeah, if Jesus lives in our heart, how does he get out?" Honestly, I'd rather answer questions at a pastor's conference. But we reasoned that since Iron Man wasn't real at all, it didn't matter. And Zane seemed satisfied to realize that if Jesus is in our heart, we really don't want him to come out of our heart. The mode of presence, Jesus' mode of presence with us, is hard for the little ones to understand. Hard for the big ones to understand. In John's gospel, in Jesus' words here, 14 through 15, in this one little verse, he has this incredible, mysterious thing where he actually compares his relationship with us to his relationship with the Father. And then these two examples, you in me, I in you. Now, it's that last one that Jamie and Zane were questioning about, Jesus in us. But for our concern this evening, let's look at us in Jesus. Because you see, walking in faith every day, living in faith every day, is living in Christ every day. Living in faith every day is not so much trying to gain things in our faith walk. Living in faith every day is living in things already gained. Some examples. Living in faith every day is living in Christ. It's living in His righteousness. Now we need to offer a word of warning for all of us here, I think, a little admonition. Because I think it's easy, even for good for life, life-affirming folks like you and me, it can be easy for us to rely upon our righteousness and to think that we're the righteous ones when it comes to these life issues. Easy for us to turn into that stereotypical pro-lifer that people want to see us as. It become easy for us in our anger over these things, in our frustration over these things, to point the finger and to judge and to condemn and to say, "Shape up, you low-life, anti-life people. We got it right. We're the righteous ones." No, we're not. And our self-righteous deeds are no better than theirs, filthy rags. And if you think otherwise, then we are pro-life, low-lifes. But when we live in Christ, when we live in faith every day in Christ, when we live in His righteousness, then we have a foundation from which to judge and to judge righteously. We have a truth from which to proclaim not our view of righteousness, but God's. And we can and we should, we're compelled to speak boldly and courageously and calling wrong things wrong. You know, one of the reasons there are so many wrong things wrong in our society today is because the church has stopped calling wrong things wrong. But we call them wrong as we live in the righteousness of Christ based on His truth, and we always do so. We always do so in love, and we always do so as a fellow sinner. Living in faith every day is living in His righteousness. And when we live in His righteousness, not our own righteousness, we have a source then of forgiveness. For we are sinners. We have a source of forgiveness that's outside of ourselves, that's objective to share with others, to share especially with those who are struggling with sin in their lives, struggling with what we refer to sometimes as those big sins. Now, we all know here that sin is sin, but we also know that sins against life, they're more difficult to deal with so often than other sins, just because of their nature. And perhaps there are those here who are struggling with sins against life. In a group like this, often there are women here, men here, who have an abortion decision they're struggling with in their past. Maybe some of you have, you're healing from that in various stages of healing. And if so, I just want to pause here. I always like to have a word just with you folks. And it really is just a word. Welcome. Welcome here with all the rest of us unrighteous ones. Welcome into Christ's righteousness in which we live, Christ's righteousness in which you live. And if Satan is scratching away at that wound and trying to pick at those scabs of past sin, you live in Christ's righteousness and you can tell Satan to be damned. You can tell Satan to be drowned in this righteousness in which you live. And perhaps there are those here who are struggling with decisions about end of life, medical treatment that you didn't start for grandma or that you took away from grandma, and you're not really sure whether that was right decision or not. Or you look back at a decision you made and now things are a little more clear, you understand better, and you realize that was a wrong decision that we made. What do we do? Well, for those of you who are struggling with sins of life, beginning of life, end of life, you're living in the righteousness of Christ. You know what that's like? It's like living in a womb. Have you ever thought about it? I mean, most of our life in a womb is lived underwater, right? And it's a safe place, a protected place. Were it not for abortion, the womb would be the safest place in the universe. And God is shaping and forming us there in the womb. And nothing can touch our lives without passing through that watery cushion. And we can do great things there in the womb. You know, somersaults and suck our thumb and swim. And did you know the backstroke was our favorite stroke? I don't know if you can do it now, but you did once. And our mom takes care of our waist and gives us nutrition through that placenta and umbilical cord. And then we are born, we leave that underwater environment, and when we're brought to the waters of holy baptism, now we're baptized, Paul says, into Christ. And now we live underwater again. We're living under the water of our baptism. We're living surrounded by the grace of God, and it's a safe and it's a protected place there. And God is shaping and forming us as we live there, even through the pain and suffering in our lives. And we can do some incredible things there. We can pray, praise, and give thanks. We can love our neighbor as ourselves. We can love our enemies. We can pray for those who persecute us. We can show mercy to others. We can defend the life of the vulnerable and the helpless. And God takes away the waste of our sin. And He supplies all of our needs through His Word and His sacraments, God's umbilical cord. And so for all of us who are sinners, and for those of you who are struggling with specific sins in your lives right now, lean back. Float in that righteousness in which you live. You don't have to even do the backstroke. Just let it lift you up and feel its strength and its cleansing power. Living in life every day is living in Christ every day. It's living in His righteousness. It's also living in His victory every day. Again, we need to be warned because sometimes we can think that we are striving for victory on these issues. We're not. We're striving in victory, in Christ's victory. So often we think, well, if we can just get the right people in office, if we can just get rid of the wrong people out of office, if we can get the right judges there, the right legislation passed, then maybe we'll be a step closer to victory. Maybe we can win victory. Or if Lutherans for Life, if we just had more money, then we could do all these things we want to do. Boy, then we'll be changing more lives. We'll be closer to victory if we just could have more money. Now, please understand, there's nothing wrong with these things. There's nothing wrong with being politically active and wanting to change laws and elect pro-life politicians. In fact, I believe we are compelled as Christian citizens to do so. And there's certainly nothing wrong with Lutherans for Life having more money. I was going to repeat that if you didn't get it, but that's... But we have to remember who our enemies are. Our enemies are not politicians and judges and journalists. Our enemies are Satan and sin and death. And Christ has been victorious over those enemies. Satan's head has been crushed by the weight of a bloody cross, and sin has been cleansed by the blood that flows from it. And death has been swallowed up in the light of life that radiates from this empty tomb. Oh yes, we have enemies, and we fight them every day, but we need to remember they're defeated enemies. And that's our hope. That's our hope when we're frustrated, when it doesn't seem like anything is getting done. That's our hope when we plan and we have this for life event and 10 people show up. That's our hope as we live in faith every day, not striving to win a victory, but striving in a victory that's already been won. Living in faith every day. It's living in Christ every day. Living in His righteousness. Living in His victory. And, now you won't like this one as much, living in His suffering. Living in His suffering. See, this is a very easy one for us to get drawn away with into our culture of death. Because, you see, we live in this culture that is saying death is our friend, right? Death is just another part of life. Death is the compassionate relief of suffering. And you know why it's so easy for us to get suckered into that? It's because we quote Paul in Philippians 1, verse 23, where he says he's torn between the two, but he knows that to die is what? To gain. He knows that to die and be with Christ is better by far. And so we can look at that and we can say, yeah, so what's wrong with sending grandma to be with Jesus? Well, it's okay to wish that for grandma, to pray for that for a desperately ill Christian friend, but it's not okay to send them to be with Jesus. And that's why I know you got verse 23 memorized. To die is gain. Memorize the next verse, because that's not the complete sentence. The sentence goes on, but it is more necessary for me to remain in the flesh. And God is in charge of the more necessary. He knows when it's more necessary. And as long as God gives life, my dear friends, as long as He gives life, He is the one who gives life, meaning, and purpose. Our meaning and purpose does not come from what we are able to do or not do. It comes from what God does in and through us. Now, how do we know that? How do we know God is at work in the suffering in our lives? Because we always see it? Is it because we feel it? No, we know that because we live in Christ and His suffering. We know that because, unlike any other religion in the world, we have a God who not only knows about suffering because He's God and God knows all that stuff, we have a God who knows about suffering because He suffered. We have a God who worked in the suffering of the cross, the greatest suffering ever to be suffered by anyone, to bring the greatest good ever for everyone. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. And that's why we know that God is at work in our lives, in the suffering in our lives. It's not because we can always see it. Sometimes we can look back at suffering and we can see where God is at work, but sometimes we can't. So we need to look at the cross and the suffering of Christ and live in that. And that's the lens through which we view the suffering in our lives. Living in faith every day is living in Christ every day. Living in His righteousness, living in His victory, living in His suffering. And it's also living in His promises. See, sometimes we don't live as promise people. We live as people who want to do things because we're afraid if we don't, we'll get punished. I suppose I'd better do that, or God will get me. Or we do things because if we do, we'll maybe get a reward. Yeah, I suppose if I go to the 40 days for life thing and stand out there in front of Planned Parenthood, God will be really pleased with me. And that's so often the motivation we use for our lives, living our lives. It's the motivation we sometimes use when we teach you young people about purity, sexual purity. Where are our young people? And we've got a lot of them registered for this. If you're 20 and under, you're a college student and down, stand up, would you please? Wow. Stay up. First of all, I just want to thank you. Thank you for being here at this place. And thank you. Don't sit down. If you do, something bad will happen to you, I assume. Now, for those of you older folks here who are always struggling, right, you're saying, oh, our chapter, you know, we're getting so old and so gray and there's just nobody around to take our place. Please look. God is raising up another generation and He's equipping them. So, thanks. You can sit down now. I'm still going to talk to you, though, because I want to apologize to you. I do this with young people. Assuages my guilt, I suppose. I want to apologize to you for the way we adults treat you sometimes when it comes to sexual purity, as if you're nothing but raging hormones with zits, you know, which you are. But you are more than that. Where's my St. Paul Council bluffs? I think they're over here. St. Paul Council. We're more than that, right? What are we? We chastity's the choice of champions. And why are we champions?
Because we are created, redeemed, and called.
I was there just a couple of nights ago. Yeah, you're champions. You're created by God, redeemed by Christ, and you've been called into Christ, and He lives in you, and you live in Him. And you can make good, God-pleasing decisions. You can choose chastity, sexual purity. Because you have promises to live in. Promises. You know, I don't know if any young people ever go in, to an abstinence rally or say you get a promise card. You ever get those promise cards? You know, I promise to save myself from all that stuff. Well, Lutheran's Life has promise cards too, but the front side of our promise card, guess what is listed there? God's promises to you. Then we can make promises to God. See, you strive for purity. All of us strive for sexual purity in our lives. Because first and foremost, we've been declared pure by God. And so every one of us here today can make good choices in our lives because we trust in promises. Living in faith every day. It's living in Christ every day. It's living in His righteousness. It's living in His victory. It's living in His death. It's living in His promises. And finally, your favorite word in the sermon so far. Finally, we live in His eternity. So we don't live in faith every day hoping we'll get to heaven. We live in faith every day guaranteed we're going to be in heaven. That's our hope. That's how we live. We know, you see, where we're headed. And so we can say with Paul, fight the good fight. And we can say with the writer to the Hebrews, press on towards the goal. And we can fight the good fight. We can uphold the sanctity of life. We can speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. We can continue in this striving for the sanctity of life in our churches and in our culture, and we can do so joyfully and enthusiastically. Because, as a pastor I once had, always used to say, the best is yet to come. We know where we're going. And so as we live in faith every day, we're living in that eternity every day. Living in faith every day. It's living in Christ every day. In His righteousness, in His victory, in His death, in His promises, in His eternity. That's not a bad way to live. It's like being in the womb every day. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts, your minds, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
At this time, we'll have the ushers come forward and receive our offerings, giving back to the Lord what He's first given to us. Thank you. rise for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your Spirit's gift of faith, enabling us to receive forgiveness, life, and salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for instituting marriage between a man and a woman so that they might complement one another, reflect your relationship with us in Christ, and be the context for your ongoing procreation of life. Thank you, Father, for purifying us in Jesus through the waters of holy baptism. Thank you for your rich and daily forgiveness for all believers. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities you provide to give witness to your truth and bring our influence to bear upon our culture. Thank you for the work you do through Lutherans for Life. Father, we lift to you those who suffer with disease and sickness, whether in mind, body, or heart. We know that by your will, Lord, that we lift all these to you, trusting that you will care for them, knowing that they are under your care. And into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Please be seated for one moment. At this time, we were going to follow up with the banquet, and what I want to give you some instructions, and then we're going to have the prayer for our food. But just so you know where you're going, some people have already been here this afternoon, this morning, but when you're going to head out these doors, there's a wall in the back. You're going to go around it and down the center wing. Now, at that point in time, you're going to actually get right in line, and you're going to grab your plates and your food at that time. There's a serving lines, two serving lines that will be there. So you'll grab your plates, and then there will be there, people will be able to guide you in the rest of the process. And then the Family Life Center is where you will be dining. So you'll take the line that's right there, it's in the gathering place down the hall, and you'll take a left into the Family Life Center. Does that make sense? Any questions? All right, just making sure. All right, so we're going to have a word of prayer, and we always like to be able to conclude together as we say the common table prayer together, but I'll start with prayer first. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful to be here once again. We're grateful that we were nourished by your word, that we can be uplifted and encouraged to head out into our world, that we can be full of faith and life, bringing that to our world, a world that is desperately in need. And so we thank you once again, Lord, that as you've nourished us here with your word, that we can be nourished again by this earthly food. We thank you from your hand that you have given forth another blessing. May it strengthen us. May it give us that courage to head out into our worlds, to be the voice that's in the wilderness, proclaiming your good deeds and your good work. And so, Lord, we pray today, and we lift before you our common voice in the common table prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. All right, you are all dismissed.